we are up to page 428. We are in the middle of learning the Rashi. Rashi pasuk tes and yud. Rashi, we learned that yesterday. We began the two pasukim pasuk tes and yud describing. Read the pasukim again. Again, page 428. Mishamrim havle shav. Those people who are guardians of futility. Two words which mean the same thing. Hevel and shav both really mean the same thing. Chastam, what is the consequence of being a guardian of futility? The consequence is chastam, their kindness, yazoivu, they will abandon. Pasuk yud vani, as for me, b'kol toido ez b'cholach, I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving accompanied by words of praise, with music, melody, with a koil. Kol can mean many things. Here it means with thanksgiving. You see, it's interesting. It's not enough just to offer a sacrifice. What really counts about the sacrifice are the words of praise and the emotion that accompanies the sacrifice. So here it's a toidah. It's not just a toidah that ez b'cholach. It has to be accompanied with a koil. Asher nodarti. What is the nature of this sacrifice? I have vowed the sacrifice. Ashalema. I'll pay off my debts. Yeshu osa lahashem, my salvation. That's a hard word to translate. Yeshua is salvation. Yeshu osa is just an extended form of the word. We have to really see the more precisely how Mefarshim translate Yeshu osa. My salvation. It's like an acknowledgement that my salvation comes from Hashem. So just to sum up yesterday, what did we learn? Yesterday we learned two perushim. We started this pasuk yesterday. We learned according to the perushim of Mitzvah David. Is that there's a story behind the text. And that is when Yoina was on the ship and the ship was going down, all of the people on the ship made promises to their gods. Each one was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, had a different idol, and they made a pledge. If you, my God, will get me out of this situation, I pledge I will bring a sacrifice. And Yonah, as well, also pledged that if Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will take him, rescue him from this sakana, he will also bring a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, as is the halacha. Mikan shenoidrin be'es tzara, as we learned yesterday in from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was on the run from Esav, and he came to Basel, and he took the 12 stones. He went to sleep, he had a dream, and when he woke in the dream, he saw the ladder, the Malachi Elokim Oilim the Yordim boy, and when he awoke, he said, Manoira hamokim hazeh ein zeh ki in beis elokim v'zeh shar hashamayim, and then it says, Vayidar Yaakov neder leimor. He took a vow. He took a vow. He recognized that he is in the matzav of sakana. Esav is he's running away. He's fleeing from Esav. Eliphaz has already seemingly chased after him and was commanded by his grandfather Esav to murder his brother Yaakov. And Eliphaz did not do so. Instead, he took away all of his money. So Yaakov Avinu was dirt poor, destitute, did not have a penny to his name, did not know what would be. He took a vow as an eighth tzara. He took a vow, if Hashem will be good to him, he will reciprocate. And indeed, he did reciprocate. Obviously, we have the Beis HaMikdash, and Chazal discussed this at great length because there was a delay in his reciprocation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu held him account, according to some of the commentators, for delaying and not fulfilling his duties immediately at the first moment. But from there, Chazal teach us a very powerful principle, Mikan Shenoidrin Be'ez Tzara. Basically, you make a deal with Hashem, that Hashem, you will take care of me, I will take care of you. And indeed, Yonah did just that. Not only did Yonah, the Ummah Yisraelim, they learn everything that they have comes from us. Everything they have, they borrow from what it says in the Torah. And they also took an oath. They also made a vow to their gods. Yonah here says that if you read the Pasuk backwards, Pasuk Yud, I, now that we've all been spared, I guarantee I will be true to my word. My word is gold. I will fulfill my obligations. I will pay off my debts to Hashem. I will keep my part of the deal. But Pasuk Tes, Mishamrim, Havle Shav, those people who were on the ship, who were idolaters, are guardians of ideologies that are false, are nonsense. One thing I know about them, their word is nothing. It means nothing. A word is not a word. A pledge is not a pledge. They, chastam, their pledges, their acts of kindness, the word chastam, according to the Mitzvot Tzav, basically means their pledges, is yazovu, they forgot about it. They nothing doing, they did not, were not true to their words. Then we began with Rashi. Rashi had an entirely different interpretation. By the way, before we go further in Rashi, just keep note is that this interpretation of the Mitzudos is not exactly what we've learned until now. What we've learned until now is that when the idolaters on the ship recognized that they were about to die, they had a moment of truth. There are no atheists in a foxhole. They had a moment of truth. They recognized that their idols are worthless. And we learned, according to one understanding, it says they took their kalim and they threw them into the sea. It doesn't just mean they threw their luggage into the sea to lighten the weight of the boat. It means they took their idols and they abandoned their idols as if to say these idols are worthless. And they became religious Jews. So if that's the case, they never made a vow. They never made a vow to an idol. If they abandoned Avodah Zarah and became religious, what does it mean over here that they're going to abandon their obligations to Hashem? Obviously, the Mitzvot Tzav is not working with that interpretation. He's working with the understanding that these individuals never gave up their belief in Avodah Zarah, or at least whatever that means, and they made pledges to their gods, and they were unfaithful to pay off their pledges. But as far as I'm concerned, I will pay off my pledge to Hashem, I will bring sacrifices. Then we started yesterday with Rashi. And Rashi says, not like the Mitzudos, basically what we just, the second interpretation. And it's very, 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 very difficult what Rashi is saying. Rashi is telling us that all of the people on the ship, they abandoned Avodah Zarah, and they became Jews, they became religious. They had a moment of truth, and they became religious. But unfortunately, it was short-lived. Yazoivu, these people who in the past were guardians of Havle Shav, and now you have to add into the Pasuk, and now they had a moment of light, a moment of truth, where they recognized the MS, and they became religious. But unfortunately, it was not sustained. Chastam Yazoivu, the outpouring of their heart to be good Torah Jews, they abandoned. They went back to their old ways. Let's see Rashi inside. Mishamrim Havleshav, Ho'umois Ho'oilam Ho'ivdim Avodazara, Chastam Yazoivu, Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fear of God. Shekol chastam v'toivasa me'itoi, all of their kindness and their goodness me'itoi comes from Hashem. Yazoivu, they abandon. Now, I'm not really sure me'itoi, all of their kindness v'toivasa me'itoi, it simply means that it comes from everything they have is from Hashem. Yazoivu, at the end is they abandon. Let's read a little bit more. Avlanil enoi chenitz natso. I'm going to offer to you Hashem a sacrifice. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. We'll come back to everything towards all the sailors. Sheozvu chastam shahayu mitivim lavaydazara v'niskayu. Okay, that's the third interpretation. Now, the second interpretation I told you is not exactly in the words. I'm really trying to really force something into the words of Rashi, which may be incorrect, but even if it's not true in the words of Rashi, it's anyway true from other Maimari Chazal, specifically the Maimari Chazal that we discussed yesterday regarding the Nefesh Asher Asu V'choron. It seems that Rashi is just giving a very general, Rashi is learning a very general description of the non-Jews. We're not discussing, according to Rashi, in its first understanding, the story. We're just analyzing the Umois Ha'olam in an abstract form. And generally, Mishamrim Havle Shav, those non-Jews, those idolaters out there in the world who are guardians of Avodah Zarah, Chastam. Chastam, Rashi seems to say, is an expression, is a term which means Yirah Shamayim, which is something which requires understanding. Yiras, Rashi says very clear, Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shekol Chastam V'toivason Me'itoy, all of their kindness, every time a non-Jew bestows kindness, and every time a non-Jew does good, it really is... Now what do you say? What do you want to say? What is, tell me.
Fear of Hashem.
Yeah.
From whom all kindness and benefit come from, right?
It's a description of Hashem? That's what, maybe, and so Yazoivu, they abandon Hashem.
They abandon.
I think you can. There are different ways to interpret it in the Judaic press. It's not a riot from the Judaic press. It's taking sides. It's not really clear. What does it mean? It's a very bizarre. Chesed means kindness. When a person exercises fear, Yirah Shamayim, does that mean that a person is kind? That's not the way we understand it. Kindness is very different than fear. We always associate kindness with Avraham and Yirah with Yitzchak. Here, the way I'm reading it, the way it seems is Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person comes to fear Hashem, a consequence of fearing Hashem is a demand that individual do kindness with other men, other people. Once you recognize there is a creator, and you're in awe of this creator, and you're afraid of this creator, naturally, your desire to express your awareness and your fear of Hashem is to be a good person. And what does it mean to be a good person? It means to do kindness, to be good. So what does it say? It says, even though we have goyim who do acknowledge that there is a creator, and they do have sparks, they do have moments of time when they decide to do chesed, because they recognize that as what is demanded of a God-fearing person, ya'azoivu, it does not last very long. Why? Because their heart is not with Hashem. Their heart is primarily in the camp of Avodah Zarah. Like what Pinchas said, Eliyahu said to the Oivdei Habal, Mosai Atem Poseach Al Shnei Hasi'ifim Im La Hashem L'chu Acharav V'im La Baal L'chu Acharav. You can't have it both. The Yetzer Hara, Avodah Zarah, is very appealing. There's a hamshacha. There's a very strong pull. And even though at moments in time you do have an awareness that there is a creator and you do the right thing, if you're still going to remain connected to Avodah Zarah, ultimately chastam, the goodness that comes from fearing Hashem will dissipate. Ya'azoivu will just not last long. In other words, you can't have it both. You can't have, I have moments of Yirah Shamayim, and those moments allow me to be a good person, but, you know, every so often I have to also have my fun. I have to also, you know, enjoy myself in this world with Avodah Zarah. Okay, you want to do that, but you have to realize that connection to Avodah Zarah is going to have a horrible effect on your Yirah Shamayim. And the Yirah Shamayim which resulted in doing acts of chesed is going to ultimately dissipate. That's seemingly the way I understand Rashi. He's saying over here, Chastam Meshamim Havleshav, Umois Oilam Hoivdim Avodazara. Chastam Yazoivu. Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fear of God. They do fear God every so often. Shekol Chastam Vitoivasam. All of, I'm trying to say, Michal, I know you're not going to like this, all of the chesed and the good of the Umois Ha'olam. The Umois Ha'olam do chesed. No, America's not a Medina Shel Chesed. Vitoivasan, all of there's goodness amongst Umois Ha'olam. So Rashi is saying something very profound. No, Rashi is saying absolutely not. Avod, anything that is not true recognition of Hashem will not lead to chesed and tov. Every guy has really a mix. Okay, in America, in God we trust. There is in God we trust is the real Ribbono Shel Olam, monotheism. But they have a very perverted, distorted, weak recognition of what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I told you many times, Rav Avigdor Miller, they once asked him, are you allowed to take a dollar bill or a coin into a Beis HaKisei? It says, it was a really good shaila. It says on every dollar bill, every coin in America, Baruch Hashem, it says, in God we trust. So he answered, I mean, I don't know if he was joking or he was serious, he answered, the words in God we trust that it says on the dollar bill is not in the level of what we understand Hashem to be. So even though it's true, God is God, and our Hakara of God, it's the same God. In America, it's monotheism. There's no question, there's one God. But their level of God, God can be an actor in a movie also. You can make a movie, and you can have someone play God, right? And he walks around the street, and he says to a fellow, you know, why don't you do... Okay, I also saw that movie a long time ago, right? You know, the world is just not behaving, right? They have movies. You understand what I'm saying. They have movies and they take God and they put God as a human being and they put him in this world and he tries to convince some people, you know, why don't you help the old lady?
That's because those are Jewish writers.
Help the lady cross the street, right? That's God? Well, yes, it is, but that's just a mashu shebe mashu of what God is. So Avigdor Miller said a tremendous chiddush is that it says the Dablin God we trust. That's right. It's our God also. It's our God also. But based upon what we know, we are Torah Jews and we have the Torah and what we know about the Ribbono Shel Olam, when it says in God we trust, it's like a toy. It's like a little mic.
Like a watered down version.
Not a thing that's even watered down is an understatement. It's so microscopic of what we appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu that already you can take into the Beis HaKisei. It's no big deal. Now I don't know if he means that lahalacha. Interesting shaila, but you know, the story brings out a point. It brings out a point.
Nobody leaves his product outside.
Never heard that, right? Never heard that. It's one of the big churban of the modern age is the technology of on bitcoins. It doesn't say in God we trust. They actually mint. I think they mint just as a dogma. Okay, a dogma. I have to go check that out online. The euro. What?
Because we don't trust Bitcoin either.
It's right. It's a make believe. It's unbelievable how there could be such a thing. A make believe currency. I mean, this is conquering the world now. Bitcoins. What's going on with cryptocurrency? If you know what's going on, go read up on this. It's just not. You know, the governments. Governments are heavily steeped. Russia's economy is going down the tubes. It's a pachad pachadim. What's going on in their economy? They are the leaders in cryptocurrency, the government, I'm not talking about private people, because they need to create some type of economy, some type of
North Koreans.
They were the biggest counterfeiters in North Korea. So the people, it's a whole world. So they mint coins, like you know, dugmois of and I wonder, I can't imagine it says on the bitcoins, in God we trust. Euros. Do they have? I'm not familiar with the euros. Does it say anything on the euros? God we trust. Very unlikely. Very unlikely. In Israel, okay, the first time the Jewish people have minted coins for 2,000 since the Bar Kokhba rebellion, almost 2,000 years ago, there's no mention of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
But on the old also was no mention.
So on the old one there was no mention, but when Chazal talk about coins, Chazal give it significance. They say that Avram Avinu, they minted coins, there was a Zokain Uzakena. There's significance. Chazal, they tell us what was minted on the coins.
Usually the king himself emits.
Of course, that's tradition for history.
You're talking about a specific instant. You're talking about Esther and Mordechai, right?
No, there were coins. Yaakov Avinu, he minted coins. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. One of the things that Yaakov Avinu did was he minted coins. In the year when he came, Vayavo Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, after the fight with the Malachim, Yaakov came back, Vayovoy Yaakov Sholem, and Vayichan Pinei Hoir. Rashi says, Yaakov said, since Hashem has been so good to me and has allowed me to miraculously survive the ordeal with the Malach, with the Sar Shel Esav, it is my duty to reciprocate, to give back to society. What am I going to do? So Rashi tells us he did three things. Either he built a bathhouse, or he built markets, or he minted coins. It seems that until that point in time, it was bartering. The way you would purchase items, you go to the store with a dozen eggs. I need to buy a chicken, so you bring to the store a dozen eggs.
But were the coins made out of gold or silver?
Metal. I'm assuming they're metal. Metal. I'm assuming silver, gold and silver. I don't know the answer. Arba meo shekel kasef oiver la soicher. So you see, they did have coins even before Yaakov Avinu. Avram paid. Arba meo shekel kasef. So you do see even before Yaakov Avinu there were coins. Okay, whatever the end is, they're getting off. The point over here is that Goyim, over here according to Rashi, I think Rashi is telling us over here that Goyim, they're idolaters. But even an idolater recognizes there is a creator. Subconsciously he knows there is a creator. And that awareness of the truth is what triggers in him the need to do kindness and goodness. However, it's very short-lived. Ya'azoivu. There's a lot of psychology being presented here in these words of the pasuk according to Rashi. Then, for the first time, Rashi says, let's give another interpretation. And this interpretation has nothing to do with a general, abstract description of the goyim. We're going to describe what happened, the story, what happened on the ship. Similar to what we learned yesterday in the Mitzudos. Avol, so the next words are Pirkei, the Rebbe Eliezer, Darsha Klapei Hamalachim, the sailors. She'ozu chastam, she'ayu meitivim lavoy the zara v'niskayu. So here we're using the word chastam according to Rashi as a euphemism for idolatry. Just like we find the word chesed used in reference to arayos, incest, a brother and a sister. It's amazing, you have the same word. How can you learn the Pasuk Chumash in Acharei was without learning Yonah? And you know what's so fascinating is because we use the word, it's amazing, back to back. Think about this. When do we learn Yonah? We learn Yonah on Yom Kippur, the Haftorah for Mincha. And what do we learn the Kriyas HaTorah for Mincha?
Arayos.
The Parish of Arayos. And one of the psukim there mentions that a man should not take his sister, Chesed who. It's a chesed. What does that mean? It's a chesed. So the Pshutoi Shol Mikra, Rashi says, refers back to Adam HaRishon, his children, Cain and Hevel. I'm telling you, Hashem is responding. I'm telling you, there's a prohibition for a man to take a sister. Really, Hashem? What about Cain and Hevel? How did they have children? Who did they marry? They married their sisters. How do they have children? How did the world come into existence? How did the world populate? Chazal say Cain and Hevel married their twin sisters. So Hashem responds, Chesed hu. That was an exempt. That was a special circumstance. That was an act of kindness that I have done with Cain and Hevel to permit them to marry their sister, so there should be a world. Because if I didn't allow them to marry their sister, it would not be possible for the world to populate. So don't ask me any questions. Rashi learns Pshuto Shel Mikra, the word Chesed Hu in that pasuk is a response to the obvious question of how can I tell you to do this is Aser when we see that it was done in the Torah. However, many other Rishonim in the same league as Rashi do not learn the Pshat as like that, but they word the use word Chesed to basically mean it is the ultimate abomination. There are many words the Torah uses to describe sins. There's chet, avon, pesha. Those are things we're very familiar with. Chet, avon, pesha. And inadvertent sin. An avon is a sin the person does because he just wants to do it. And a pesha, a person is a rebel. You do a lahachis. You dare rebay, and then there's something called a to'eva. A to'eva is much worse, an abomination. Mishkav Zohar is called a to'eva. And then there is the ultimate, over the top, out of the ballpark home run. And that's called Chesed. Chesed is such an abomination. The word to'eva is not enough. So we have to invent a new word. But there is no new word to invent. We've already reached 100%. What are you going to use to describe something that's even greater than abomination? Chesed. It's a euphemism to express something that is so detestable. Now, if that is true, let's throw that pshat for the moment. It fits perfectly with the Haftarah. Because what do we lay in for the Haftarah right after you say the Pasuk Chesed Hu? You lay in the Haftarah, which is Yonah, and now you describe there's another type of abomination in this world. And you know what that is? Idolatry. Meshamrim Havleshav, guardians of nonsense, people who worship sticks and stones, stone and wood, chastom yazovu, the day will come when they will abandon their abomination. So just like the word chesed in the Kriyas HaTorah refers to abomination, the word chesed here in reference to avodah zarah is called, the word chesed is also, in regard to avodah zarah, the act of the Zohar is called Chesed. That's what Rashi says. And then Rashi's tying this into the story that the people on the ship, when they saw the miracles that transpired, they abandoned their Avodah Zarah. Chastam Yazovu. This is very different.
That's totally contradictory to what he said before.
Right, exactly.
Before he was talking to Umma Solom, and then Yazovu. Here it says
exactly, the complete diametric opposite, 180 degrees, 100%, exactly. Rashi is giving us two very different translations of the word chesed, what this refers to. According to Rashi's interpretation, we are saying, goyim, chesed, even the little good that they do, even that you can't rely on. And what do the Mitsudos say? Mitsudos is something very, very similar. The Mitsudos, he said this is also referring to the sailors, the ship, not abstract, referring to what happened on the ship, and they made pledges. They made a pledge that when we come to dry land, we're going to offer sacrifices to the idols, to the being that helped us. Chastam, their goodwill to their gods, Yazoivu. So according to Rashi's first interpretation, according to the Mitsudois' first interpretation, absolutely, the word chesed means something positive. Rashi now goes about face, 180 degrees. And according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, over here we're describing a very good event, a very positive development, there was some positive and icing on the cake that came out of this whole story. When they were with Yonah and they saw the miracles, they chastam yazoivu, they gave up avodah zarah. They converted. They became Jews. And here chastam is a negative term, and it's being used as a euphemism for avodah zarah.
Right, but it seems that Pshat does not follow, because he's setting up the ummah of either
Kinega, the next pasuk, pasuk yud.
Va'ani.
Va'ani.
Contrast.
Right, okay, so look, there's no perfect pshat, okay? There are many ayin parim l'torah. You're right. According to Rashi, how does the according to the mitzudos, it's really nice. It fits. The two psukim fit like a glove. According to Rashi's first pshat, we're contrasting the goyim. They're not reliable, and I am reliable, so it fits also to a degree. According to the second pshat, you're right. It doesn't flow well according to the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, let's go further. Tevel, very good. You're saying there's another word. There is to'eva, and there's another word, tevel. So in all these words, we have chet, avon, pesha, to'eva, tevel, and now chesed. Six words describing an abomination. Lama nikru talmidei chachamim soifrim. They count. It's always kedai, it's a good mnemonic to count. To count all the different types of categories. It's good. There's six we have over here. At least we walk away today. Walk away with something. Six different terms to describe sin. Chet, pesha, avoin, tevel, to'eva, and chesed. Next. Now, next was the Rashi. Yeshuas, now he says, Yeshuas l'Hashem, nidrei shalomim v'toida ashalem l'shem Yeshua asher l'Hashem. So he's coming out to define what's this unusual Yeshua saw. What's the word Yeshua saw? The saf hey, Yeshua saw kmo li shua. V'chein kumo ez rasa lanu le'ezra shelanu. It seems that the emphasis of the saf means to us. It's in place of
the lamed.
It's in place of Yeshua Lishua. Okay, the Sof Hey is in the end is Kol Mokam Shnemar. It's a replacement for the Lamed Le, towards or on behalf of. Let's look at the Sifzei Zakenim. The Sifzei Yeshua Sof V'Chein Ezra Sof B'Shteina Hey B'Mekayim Lamed. The Hey at the end is the place of the Lamed in the beginning. B'tchilasa, Lishua le'ezra v'nishtana ha'hei l'tov. So if that's the case, where is the hay? There should only be a hay. No, the hay demands the tov. Bavur koishi pigisha shtei ha'hein. Because the word Yeshua anyway ends with a hay. So now, we really want to add a lamed to the beginning of the word. For whatever reason, we can't do that. So what is the alternative? Add a hey to the end of the word. But I already have a hey at the end of the word. I can't have a double hey. So the solution is, convert a hey into a tav. First hey into a tav. L'chein hey arufuya, that is why there's no dat in the hey. She'ena mishameshes l'kinui. It doesn't say Yeshua saw, her Yeshua. It's Yeshua, an emphasis on the person, because the hey, anytime you have a mapik hey, it refers to a definite article, it refers to something, it's referring to something, it's an adjective, an adverb, it's referring to something very specific. Here, it's not referring to anything. It's with really just in place of a lamed, towards, on behalf. Therefore, the hey is not a definite article, it's not an allusion to a definite article, and therefore the hey does not get a dot. So we just append it to the end of the word. But there's another hey, so therefore we have to turn the previous hey into a soft. Okay, we learn here a lot of grammar. Okay, we learn about a mapik hey. We learn about every time there's hey at the end, it turns into a hey at the end is really in reference to a lamed in the beginning. And when you already have a hey, like in the word Yeshua, you have no choice but to transform the first hey into a tav. Right, because there, atovir asa, there the hay is a mapik, okay? Because there it's referring back to the neshama. You have created it. What is it? What is it? The neshama. We don't say atov baro ha neshama. The mapik hay osa. It captures the subject of the verse. Here, we're not doing that. Here, the hay is just to be in place of a lamed in the beginning. And that's why there's no dat. Again, but because there already is a hay in the word Yeshua, we have to turn the Sof, the first thing, into a letter Sof. Okay, a lot of good diktuk. Right, the best way to learn diktuk is by example. Okay, I have a friend who's a very, very big baki in diktuk, named Yeshua Govsky. He's a very big mumche in diktuk, very, very mumche in diktuk. And I argued with him for a long time that I really want to team up with him because I don't know any diktuk. I want to learn with him. He should teach me, and he should publish a sefer to teach diktuk through the siddur. In other words, if you have a sefer. No, not the Chumash. Chumash 32. That's later. First, let's do the one. Do the Siddur.
That's the best set of examples.
The Siddur. If you're going to go publish a Sefer on Diktuk, okay, all the Sfar. Here are the Klolim. First chapter, the Klolim. Second chapter, the Binyanim. Third chapter, all the exceptions. Next chapter, open up the capital of contents. Not for me. Goodbye, good riddance. Right? No way, Jose. Is it going to go? Go to the bookstore. There are hundreds of books on diktuk with all the klalim, and just it makes me dizzy. It makes most people dizzy. The only way to do it is, well, what do you say every single day? Every day you wake up, Mode ani lifanecha melechai v'kayam. Don't give me any klalim, this, that. Let's just go one word at a time. One word at a time. Mode ani lifanecha. Wait a minute. First of all, is it mode or is it mode? Why is it mode? Well, so you have to right away. Well, it's mode, not mode. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm a little confused now, right?
Mode.
Okay, we don't say that. We're so yeshivish. We don't know. We don't even know the first word we say when we wake up. We already say it wrong. We say mode, right? That's the first thing we do, we wake up in the morning, we're already off to, on a wrong foot. It's mode. Next thing, why is it mode? Why is it moda? Oh, mode is lashon zachar. Moda is lashon nekeva. Oh, really? So that means every woman should say moda ani lifanecha. So do you know something? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's right. You should have a woman sitter, and the woman sitter, all of the words should be changed to Moda Ani Lifanecha V'chohena V'chohena. Go to the whole Nusach. And all the words are Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm now doing over here the Gedolei Yisrael. Okay? However, in all of, they don't pass in like this, all of the Yeshiva Ketanos, they teach all of the girls' schools, go check out, ask your grandchildren, okay, ask your granddaughters, they teach them to say Modeh. How could that be? But they're women. Now, in the more modern schools, they do teach them Modeh. In the modern schools. But most, even in the many modern schools, they don't. They teach them Modeh. Oh, but it's Modeh. You're right. You're right. It's no different when you go into your car. Are you a righty or a lefty? If you're from the, if you're fortunate to be from the 10% of the population who are lefties, if you're blessed to be from the 10% who are lefties, it's very frustrating because we live in a world of righties. In the car, the pedal is on the right side. If you're a lefty, most of the time your koyach is on the left. Soccer. Do you know that all of the soccer, we don't play soccer in America. But the lefty soccer players, go watch online. The lefty, when they go and they kick with their left foot. Because the lefty, it's not just the koyach in the left hand, the whole body is aligned on the left. So it's not fair. They do not make cars. There's no car manufacturer in the world that makes a car that puts the pedal, the gas pedal, on the left side. This is discrimination. Excuse me, this is a racist country. It's a racist world. Okay, computers. Where's a number pad on your keyboard? On the right or the left side? On the right, that's not fair. What about what? What do you mean watch? Where, what do you mean watch? You can't watch. Oh, where do you wind the watch? I never thought about that. That's right. Where do you wind the watch? You wind the watch on the right side. Kohena v'kohena. I could show you. Could show 100 examples where this world discriminates against 10% of the population. That's a big percent. That's, you know, these Meshugoyim out there who are who promote themselves, I'm not going to say the words, the same gender people and V'chol HaMilvim Olav, Do you know what the percentage of these people are out there in the country?
The real percentage?
The real percentage? 3%. 3%. Could you imagine that? You walk in the street, you would think today that these people are at least 70% of the population.
What's
3%? Of gays. The gay population. The gay and the lesbian population. They're 3% of the population. You would really think, you would really, really think, okay, I'm joking when I say 70, at least 40%, 30%, the way you really think. They're only 3%. And to be politically correct, the whole world is turned upside down.
Mamish,
upside down for 3% of the population. This is meshuga. Mamish, mamish meshuga. What?
Handicap access. All the sidewalks have done.
So what percent, and, one percentage?
Very small percentage, which are a lot of handicap, but which ride electric or mobile.
Right.
And because of that, they made
the whole world. But see, there I have sympathy, because they wouldn't be able to function, period.
Yeah,
when it comes to the gay population, they can function just the same without doing anything.
Yeah.
Without doing a thing for them, they can function just the same. So if you want to make sidewalks with the handicap, even if the handicap has 1%, I get it. I'm all for it, because they also have a right to live. They can't travel. They can't do anything without this. But the gay population can live a regular full life like anyone else, even if we don't change the sidewalks for them. Nothing changes. Everything is the same. And yet we bend backwards. Mamish turned the world upside down to be politically correct. Lefties are 10% of the population. There have been studies that don't think there's a mutation, that it's only recent. Go back thousands of years. They know as a fact, lefties, nothing has changed. All of these years, we're always 10% of the population. And there's hundreds of examples of basic things in life are only made, the whole world, that's the righty world. That's how it is. It is the same thing, Rabbi Yisai, when it comes to diktuk, for noshim. The sinner was composed for everyone. But the facts are, the people who are mechuyif to say every single word in the sinner are men. Noshim have a different set of rules. A woman who's married with children, has busy with children, is mamash kaman exempt from davening. Women has busy with children, ma'alah halachi, mamash potter from davening. So the men, you can have 20 children, doesn't matter. You have to daven every day, 3 times a day, whether you like it or not. You're not exempt just because you have 20 children. So the sitter was composed primarily for men. Therefore, the nusach is a male nusach. Noshim, that's the minig Yisrael. What can I tell you? The minig Yisrael is noshim, they say modeh. There are like 20 examples, and I don't remember all the examples. Modeh, yeah?
I have a feminist haggadah. All the
brachas
are Baruch At.
Baruch At. Hashem is a female. Hashem is a female. See, that's racism, because we all know we're running out of time, but you should know that's not politically correct. It has to be gender neutral, because it used to be in the olden days when feminists first started. Feminists, their ideology was they're better than men. Women are better. That's so. Then they came to realize that's not fair. You're even a bigger racist. You're even a bigger racist than men, because what's your whole problem with men? Because men feel they're better. So why? So you're now saying women are better? That's not nice. You're just as big as a racist as a man. Just as big. So therefore, it is politically correct for a woman to say she's equal. Okay, a real feminist today will not say she's better. She will say she's equal to a man. If she will say that she's better than a man, then she's just as big as a racist and as big as a man. No difference.
Ladies are stronger than men, biologically. For every 104 boys, there are 100 girls. But because the boys are very... they are missing abortion, this, that, they...
statistics.
It's going to be damaged.
Heart disease.
Ladies are going more
damaged. All right. There's a lot. Okay, that's so, all right. It's not a sheer in statistics. Let's go weiter.
No, I want to say something.
Let's go weiter.
Those who are right hand, from not to get Alzheimer, they should put the watch on the right
Let's learn the Radak. Let's learn the Radak. Okay, Mishamrim Havle Shav Chastam Yazayvu. We learn Rashi, we learn the Mitzvah, we learn the Mitzvah, we learn a lot of different diktok. Now let's go back to the Radak. Radak Pasik Tes, Mishamrim Havle Shav. Anshei Asvina Shoyu Oivdei Elilim. Veimishamrim Havle Shav Yodati Shacha Shenimletu Min Hatzara Yazvu Chastam. Shayoru Es Hashem. This is what I told you originally. I really try to read this into Rashi. And here the Radak says it open outright. Sheyaru es Hashem. They feared Hashem. V'zoakwe lo. V'nodru nidodim. They took vows. Lo yikaimu ma shenodru. V'yashuvu la'avodas Elohim. They went back to their gods. He's saying what the Mitsudo said, but a little bit more. The people on the ship, they recognized and about to die. They abandoned their avodah zarah. They made pledges to Hashem, and they became religious Jews. But what happened? It was short-lived. Avlani loychein. Now, so the Mitzudos David said did not say they became Jews. It just says they made pledges to their gods to avodah zarah. So we understand they made a pledge to an idol. So we don't have to pay up. Radak says more. Radak says they abandoned idolatry. They embraced Judaism. They made a pledge to Hashem, and then when everything calmed down, they forgot about Hashem, and they went back to their old ways.
Isn't it true people, they're in an emergency situation, they'll say, oh, I'm going to be very good,
And then they forget about it, exactly. So we have over two different versions of this, exactly. We have the version of the Mitzvah stuff and the version of Radak. The Mitzvah stuff, they made these pledges when they were idolaters, and the pledges they made were to idols. So then we understand why they abandoned their faith. They didn't pay up. But Rashi, what Radak is saying, is very disturbing. These people, they had a moment of truth, they abandoned idolatry, they embraced Judaism, and they made a pledge to Hashem, and then when the ordeal was over, they went back to church. They went back to their gods. Just like, what is this parallel? V'yes ha-nefesh, Asher osu b'choron. Avram was Megayer, Hoanoshim, Sodom, Hotel Eshel. Everyone came and benefited from Avram Avinu. Then when he left, what happened to all these neshamos? Chazal say, Chozru l'suram. They went back to their old ways. How you talking? What's the pshat? Avram Avinu failed? He failed? So you see over here, Yonah also failed. So we discussed this yesterday. And there are two reasons why they failed. Number one, Avram was because he was feeding them. As long as they had what to eat, then it was easy. When Avram, he left and no one was feeding them anymore, they went back to their old ways. But the better answer is because they did not have, and Farshim say this, I can't tell you who says this, but I saw this written up somewhere, and we said this yesterday, they did not have the koyach of Torah. Yadus only is sustainable through introducing, bringing in the koach of the study of Torah, the observance of Torah. It's not just good to believe in the principles of Judaism. There has to be an element of kiyum haTorah and limud haTorah, the study of Torah.
Didn't change their inner core.
Right.
Inner core wasn't changed.
Right, exactly, and this is something which, like, today we all grapple with. Today, this debate we mentioned many times: Jewish continuity. What is the secret to Jewish continuity? And we said many times: every organization across the board has a different idea. Some organizations will tell you it's birthright. If you go and you take a college student or a high school student and you send him to Eretz Yisrael for a summer, and you show him the land, and you give him a tour of the land, no learning, no study of Torah, you introduce him to Eretz Yisrael, the Holy Land. There's something holy about the land which changes everything. It changes his attitude in life. And it's true, it works. It's been proven to work. So who's to say? And then a lot of the Haredi world, I mean, they have a lot of success with this, is to learn a daf gemara. It doesn't make a bit of sense. You learn shor shenogach es hapara. How in the world will learning shor shenogach es hapara change a person to become a shomer Shabbos? How does it work? What, you learn shor shenogach es hapara? Go read Moby Dick. What's the difference? There is something that is magical. There is some inherent kedusha in the words of a Mishnah, of a Gemara, a piece of Gemara, the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara. It works. And they do this in Eretz Yisrael with great success. They go and they knock on doors of the most anti-chilonim, the anti-charedim, the chilonim, and they knock on the door and the guy comes and says, "What are you knocking on the door? You do it one more time, I'll shoot your head off." Right? In Israel, you can carry a weapon. And only in Israel you can do this. You know, the chutzpah, only the chutzpah you can do this. And the guy, the Haredi there says, "You're going to shoot my head off. Before you shoot my head off, let's learn a daf gemara." Here's a gemara, you come, a guy comes, a shlump with an old hat, and the tzitzis hanging out. This is what they do. This is the Yad La'achen. They do this and it works like wonders. They take a guy who has no training, zero training in chinuch. And they give him the two gemaras, and they say you go to this town and somewhere in the suburb of Tel Aviv, in the most nasty chiloni neighborhood, and you knock on a door. In front of the door, there's three dogs running around, and you can imagine the whole story over there. And you knock on the door, the guy comes out with a gun, and you say to him, "I'm here to learn with you. I want to learn 45 minutes with you. On your dining room, let's go learn a piece of Gemara." And the guy curses him. "Okay, let's see what it says here in the Gemara. Let's see what it says. No politics." And they sit down, and they learn the Gemara. And they fight for 45 minutes. Then the guy says, "Can I come back next week?" "Yeah, come back next week." And he comes back next week. And before you know, this guy is sitting in Kol Chazanish. How did that happen? I'm not joking with you. Smaisim b'chol yom. I'm not joking. It's not joking. This is not. In America, you do this, you go to jail. In America, you knock on someone's door, I want you a piece of Gemara. The next thing is the police are escorting you to prison. That's how it is in America. Go try this. Go out to Kansas and knock on the door. Go do research. This guy is the Ben Achar Ben from Rashi. Ben Achar Ben from Rashi in Kansas. Knock on his door. The next thing you know, you're in jail. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a different culture. You can do it.
Democracy.
You can do it. Not democracy. No democracy. But democracy. The Eretz Yisrael, you can do it. You can knock on someone's door, and you can fight. The chutzpah, it's the Israeli chutzpah, and it works. It's very. It's not a good thing. I can't deal with it. But those who live with this can they use it to their advantage to survive, and to accomplish. And that's what they do. They do, and it's ma'aseh mechoyam. So that's another example of Jewish continuity. That's really the example the Chazal are focusing on. Yes, hanefesh asher osu bichoron. There are a lot of things that work, especially when dealing with balei tshuva people. Anyway, Jewish dealing with goyim, it's probably a whole different world. But dealing with anyway, there are a lot of things that work. Birthright, and there are different techniques. There are many different techniques, and to each his own. But this technique of Torah is very powerful. And some of the commentators explain that is why Avram's people did not last. Because it was a time in the world when there was no Torah. Avram was preaching monotheism. So you preach monotheism, there's a creator. Everyone was a pagan or an idolater. And you tell them, "What are you doing? What are you bowing down to? A stone? Don't you recognize there's a creator?" And they did. They did recognize. Problem was, when the Rebbe went away, when the Rebbe went out of town, what happened? They went back to their old ways. They went back to their, there's no follow-up. If the Rebbe would have been able to learn with these people a Daf Gemara, then when the Rebbe would have gone away to Lech Lecha, Mi'artzecha, they would have remained Torah Jews. Because the Koyach of Torah is something which can sustain, gives the Koyach of Jewish continuity. That is why Avraham Avinu was not able to retain the nefesh. No, you have other people over here. It's not just me. You have nefesh asher osu bichoron. That is one approach. So here on the ship, it's the same thing. Here you're dealing with goyim. As Mamash said, even though it was way after Matan Torah, we're dealing with goyim. There was a moment of truth. There was a moment when the heavens opened up and they saw this Ribbono Shel Olam. They saw the MS. And they converted. We're becoming gerim. We're becoming mamish. But what's it based upon? It's based upon a recognition of the MS. A recognition of the MS without a plan of action. And the plan of action are the Tayag Mitzvahs and the commitment to the Tayag Mitzvahs, which includes the study of Torah. That is what is sustainable. Here, they didn't have that. So that's why he says, Misham Havlish of the people that are Misham Havlish of Eve, you have to inject into us, even when they have a matziv, a moment in life of clarity, and then Makid is Ribbono Shel Olam. But unfortunately, it's not going to last very long. Chastam Ya'azoivu. It's going to be abandoned. I told today, Gerus, major of all of the religious Gerus, talking about an Orthodox Gerus, is there's a very heavy emphasis on the study of Torah, learning Torah. It will not take a ger today. I mean, I don't know all the pratim, but I know my friend who he's a ger tzedek, and they demanded of him to every night to attend the night set to learn Torah every single night. He had to show up. He had to show up in a certain place at a chavusa. That was like part of the curriculum. Not so much, you know, you become a gay. You know everything. You know very little. What do you really know about Yadus? But there has to be a commitment to the study of Torah in order that it will be sustained. It's a very important radak. A radak is shown here.
This you say because Avraham Avinu was telling from his deep heart.
But it didn't work. It didn't work.
How do we know?
Because the Chazal say explicitly Chazul Asura. Chazal say, where are these people? We have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov is Shivim Nefesh. From there came Mishishim Wiboy. Yitzchak came Yishmol. We have Esav. So what happened to this HaNefesh, Asher Osu B'choron? Where did they all go, these people? Chazal say, Chozru L'Surim. They went back to their old ways. They were pagans. They're nothing.
How many the people that they did Teshuah after they did Teshuah and saved them? Again, they came back to their...
They're gone. And we mentioned yesterday there's a tradition that every Ger Tzedek that converted through history is a descendant of those Neshamois Asher Asu Bechoron. Even though indeed they went back to their old ways, Avram put a spark in their Neshamois. Anytime you see in this world a Ger Tzedek, Muftach, if you'll be able to trace his lineage, maybe one day there'll be technology. There'll be technology where we can look into a person's DNA. And we can figure out exactly all the way back to Adam HaRishon. It's going to happen at some point in time in the future. We'll be able to go and trace everyone. Zichus, you'll see that these people are descendants of those that Avraham Avinu influenced the Nefesh Asher Asu Bicharon. Okay, let's next Radak. Let's finish up the Radak over here. V'yesh Mefarshim. Now, new interpretation. So according to the interpretation, chastam over here, he says is, the chastam means the kindness, means the goodwill to become Torah true Jews. Those that are guardians of Avodah Zarah, even when they have a moment of truth, it's short-lived chastam. According to the Radak, chastam means their desire to come close to Hashem. A new word that we use, chesed. Chesed doesn't just mean to be good to other people. It means to be good to Hashem. What?
But he's quoting from the
Pesach
where it means it's a euphemism.
They're going to abandon their kindness. Shayaru es Hashem v'zoakwela v'nadru nidarim. Lo yikaimu. It's not a euphemism. Point to the Radak. Chastam me over here. Me. No, not yet. Again, I'm getting to the next shot. According to this, chasda means they made vows. They made vows to bring offerings. They're not going to be true to them. They're going to return. So he's saying, it's a third interpretation, similar to the mitzudos, but he's upping the game by telling us, referring over here to the, after they became Jews. The mitzudos says the same thing, but he says they never became Jews. They were goyim. They made vows to idols. Now, mishamrim einoy poyel yoytze. This is not an active verb. Elu kamo shomrim. It means it's a description. It's an identifying a race. Okay, doesn't mean they're actually sitting there watching something. It's a poel yoytze means that you're active.
Shamrim is kal.
It's a description of a race. It means people who identify with this ideology of worshiping idols. They are another law of grammar. Okay, so poel yoytze means it's action, lights, camera, action. You're actually involved in doing something when it's lashon kal mishamrim. It's an expression which is a descriptive term of something. V'yesh mefarshim. Let's just finish up. We'll finish up quickly. Chasdam yazayvu min chesed hu. Okay, this is what like we just said before. The same way it's used in reference to gilui arayos, incest, a brother and a sister. The laning, right before you lane this on Yom Kippur, you lane the arayas, you say the same word, chesed hu, kiloimar, sheyazvu, eli lehem, they will abandon their idols. Exactly what Rashi's second interpretation from the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Shem chesed unuval, it's disgusting. The chen hu, Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Shkem and shirob, mahamalachim, shegiun el ninve, kishegiun el ninve, es kol hanisim, shasak, kol shparachim, yoina. Now look at this. He's coming to add a new detail in the story that we did not know. Okay, look what it says. This we didn't see this before. Obviously, this must be Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The people on the ship, where did they go when it was over? Where did it go? They were supposed to go to Tarshish. That was the plan. That's what's on the ticket. Ticket said to Tarshish, and that Yonah told them that I was really supposed to go to Nineveh, and I disobeyed a direct order. So what did they do? They threw him overboard. So now where did then the storm stop? So where did the ship go? Well, you would assume it went to Tarshish. Over here, he says something very strange. Who is he getting this from? Maybe the Medrash says this. Kishigiu el Nineveh. The people on the ship, they had a change of heart. Instead of going to Tarshish, they went to Nineveh. Isn't that strange? Why did they go to Nineveh?
He
didn't board the ship. He was in the fish. Yonah went into the fish. So what about the people on the ship? They were supposed to go to Tarshish. And now it says, Kishegiel Nineveh, and they saw, Eskol Hanisim She'ozak L'Sparachu Im Yonah, Amdu v'yishlichu ish eloha bayom shnemar misham havle shav chasam yazovu. At a later point in time in their existence, they went to Nineveh. They saw what happened in Nineveh, all the miracles, and they saw and also what happened on the ship. That all contributed to their recognition that there is a creator, there is our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they embraced Yadus. They abandoned Avodah Zarah, chazru liYafo. They returned back to their home city, the port Yafo. They returned back. After they went to Nineveh, they returned. They performed bris milah, shenemar, vayi re'u ho'anashim yiro g'dayla es Hashem v'yizchu la'zevach. We discussed this in the last few 2 weeks. Zevach there means a sacrifice, which means they did bris milah. We associate bris milah with the word zevach. That was a long, we had a whole discussion on that. Zevach zavchu, el zeh dam bris milah, shukadam zevach. Look at this. What's the neder? Incredible insights, what he says here. You know what the insights are? To convert their wives and children. To work on them. To influence their wives and children. How many times do you have stories of people convert where their wives are not part of the program? Okay, and it's a problem. It's a very big problem when a person wants to become a Geret Tzedek, but he says, I want to be a Geret Tzedek, but just one problem. My wife is not going to convert. Can we work it out?
No, it's with the yid. It's less desirous of... it's where the guy wants to become a yid, but the yid is not from, right. And they're not interested.
They're interested in practicing.
Yeah.
They have all these stories where one member wants to become a Baal Teshuva, but the spouse does not.
It affects the marriage.
So even it affects the marriage, but they want to maintain the marriage. Can it be arranged? Can it work out? So one is a Jew and is a guy, it's impossible. You can't have a Jew convert and live with a non-Jewish woman. That's connected Kol Torah Kula. That doesn't work. But let's say the guy wants to convert and the wife or the spouse is Jewish. Lucky day, you happen to into marriage. But they're not religious. They're not religious. So can a convert now continue to live with a not, I want to be from, but my spouse, they're Jewish, but they're totally irreligious. Can we have it work? Can there be an arrangement? It's very, very hard to do such a thing, for rabbis to permit such a thing.
If you have a couple and then the man becomes from, about you,
right.
The wife doesn't, it doesn't work out.
So there, it's much better.
The other way around, it does work.
That's a much better situation, because there, they're both Jewish. There, you're not becoming a Jew. Like I told you, to become a ger, I don't think they would take me in Beis Din. I really don't. My friend, when he went to Geirus, what they demanded of him, my jaw dropped. Like, I would never survive this ordeal. The standards that they demanded from him are so high.
The standards for a woman the same?
Same. The same. I don't know to what degree. They had such high standards. Such high standards to become a Jew. I'm looking at him, he's telling me these things. I would never make it. I don't think the average person would make it. Okay, once you're in, then you can do whatever you want.
But the thing is, if the wife is from, it's much easier than the man.
Always.
Okay, right, that's right, always.
She's running the household and the kids.
Well, not necessarily, because not necessarily, because a woman has the big issue of mikvah.
Right.
A man doesn't have mikvah.
Right.
So if a woman is not religious,
much harder.
It's very hard.
But if she is,
she is religious.
It's easier.
It can be easier
because she controls the home.
Right, she's easier, so he doesn't go to mikvah. He doesn't need to go to mikvah.
Right. And
but,
she'll say yes.
So let's say you have a situation where a man wants to become from. He is from, but his wife is totally religious. But she'll at least agree. And she'll go to mikvah. Is that enough? She'll go to mikvah. Is that enough? Well, let's say it's not okay. Let's say they're married and they're at a point in their life where it's that whole issue is not an issue. So is there anything wrong with him remaining married? Pasha's not. I don't know. This is very complicated. But Geirus is much more complicated, because Geirus, you're entering into Yadus, and you're entering into Yadus on a Tanai that I can live with an irreligious spouse. The Bez is not going to go for that. They're really not going to go for that. And it's a very... So what do you tell them to get divorced? So I won't become Jewish. He'll go to another Bez. There, they'll take him. They'll go to a Reform Bez, a conservative Bez, a Bez that's, nishtahim nishtaher. What do you do? Big, big problem. These are very, very tough questions. Next. The neder is to work on your spouse. It's beautiful how he ties it. We didn't see this before. There's such an interpretation that the neder over here is the nedarim that the goyim made were to bring people, not sacrifices. To bring someone with you. It's like a shear. You got to bring someone to the shear. The only way to promote a shear is internally. Like Dr. Fruchter. Dr. Fruchter, you brought many people to the shear. You get the biggest credit. You brought the most nedarim. You brought the most nedarim to the most nedarim. You put up a sign. You put up a sign in the newspaper. Ad blindness, right? In marketing, something called ad blindness. I never saw the advertisement. What do you mean I saw the advertisement? You don't drive down the street. You see the billboard only a billion times every time. Ad blindness. Advertisements don't work. The only thing that works is recruitment. You got to recruit your own people. Recruit. That's the only way things work in this world. Znadu lohavi ish as ish of yezbanav, vias kolasha lo li yiras, Hashem eloke yoyna. V'nadru v'shumu v'aleim hu'aymer al agedim geriat sadek. V'yodesam terigem loy ka'amamaya polche tavosa d'me'asa d'me'toytav l'hoin leis inun yodin. K'yodesam translates, not like the nations which worship their mistakes avodah zara, d'me'asar d'me'toytav l'hoin, from the place that is good to them, less inun yodin, they do not know. So let's leave out the Targum for now. We'll maybe come back to another time. I don't know the Targum clear. I really need to look up every word and understand it in more depth before I just talk out of my without understanding it. Pasuk Yud. We're finishing it. We want this two lines. We're done. I'm going to thank you within an assembly. So he's saying over here, b'kol toida, he seems to say a chidush. The chidush is the word koil. It seems that the Radak is telling, teaching us, means I'm not going to be alone. Koil has a connotation, there's many people together. Is that really true? Koil, b'koil toida, b'soich kahol. Where did he get the word kahol? I don't know. V'ezbech aloch zevach toida kasher nadarti, Yeshua salashem perish, v'yemeki ha-Yeshua la-Hashem, like we discussed. The word Yeshua saw, the hey really means lamed. The Yeshua is la-Hashem. Ha-Yeshua la-Hashem, levade sho-shi'ani b'pele godel sho-asali. Okay, we'll stop here tomorrow. Mir Tashem, we will continue. We'll learn now a little Sefer Chasidim and save some time to discuss Yoim HaBikurim.